And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy, being heard around the world through shortwave radio and on the internet, powerofprophecy.com, 24/7 there on the internet. And of course, we're also heard on American Voice Network. Great to be with you. Got a full schedule today. We're going to be talking about some secrets. In fact, this is Secrets Volume 176. A lot of interesting things. We'll get to those in just a minute. Maybe just a little bit of, I don't know if you want to call it housekeeping or whatever, but I want to thank all of my good friends out in Radio Land for your prayers for my recent illness. For about the last year and a half, I've been pretty much, to use a cliche, under the weather. I was attacked by everything from gout to right now. I have the sciatic nerve problem, and I find it very difficult to walk. Of course, golly, what have I had? Shingles and thyroid problems, and I guess I'm just breaking down. But I'm still smiling, still working hard. You know, it gave me time. I'm just so busy splintering myself, going every which direction, that it sort of forced me to stay home and to write. And every day I'd drag myself over to my writing table and desk and get out all my stuff. And, of course, Wanda's complaining because it looks like a madhouse. She says, you've taken over my family room. You've taken over our breakfast area. You know, you've got boxes and magazines and rare books and all kinds of notes and file things, you know, out there working on this book. It's not a house anymore. Well, I do feel sorry for her. I said, well, when I get well, I'll get all this stuff out of your way. And oh, the ladies, they have to suffer, don't they? I know. Well, in any case, it's given me an opportunity to write. And, you know, my newest book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, will be out. It looks now that it'll probably be out about May the 25th. That's what I'm hoping, by the end of May. We were putting out the information that it would be May 15th, but might be a little bit delayed, but we're working hard on that. And it's actually written, but now we're just doing the editing and make sure it, you know, it looks good and we're not embarrassed with misspelled words and such as that, that we have all our commas and I's dotted, you know, those kinds of things. But we're working very hard. Everybody here in the ministry cooperates on working on these books, but I am responsible for every word. It's all my words, so if there's anything in there wrong, blame old Tex, and that's okay. I've got thick skin. I mean, I've been blamed for everything. The stuff on the internet that they say about me is really hilarious, and so no problem at all. You know, you've just got to keep going, whether in sickness or in health, whatever befalls you, lies, rumors, innuendo told about you. You got to look in the mirror every morning, smile big, and say, you know, Jesus knows the truth. I work for him. And I'm going to just keep on forging ahead in victory. That's right. I have victory every day. Christ in my heart. Now, how can my enemies possibly succeed? It's impossible. Even those old enemies of bacterial infections or virus infections or diseases, they can't hold a person of God down. You know, and not only that, I find Christians, you know, I had some clothes altered and Wanda was so busy taking care of me. And, you know, she comes to work and then she comes back home and takes care of me. And I can barely get around right now, although I'm getting better. Don't feel sorry for me. I don't need that at all. I'm going to do just great. But I know it's a bigger burden on Wanda. But today on the way to work here, she stopped by this laundry and cleaners. And there was a, you know, alterations lady in there, precious lady. And we had some things altered that Wanda couldn't do on her sewing machine, although she can do about everything. But this was a suit and she didn't want to, you know, mess it up, she said, although if you've seen Wanda sewing, she doesn't mess up anything, I'll tell you. But Nevertheless, Wanda went in, and I was sitting in the car, you know, waiting for her to come out, because as I said, it's been very difficult for me to walk. And I've been just hobbling around with this gout and this, the sciatic nerve problem. Well, after about 10 minutes, I was waiting for them, and I said, you know, it's getting a little bit warm here in the car. When is she going to come out? And suddenly she comes out with a lady that works there, the alterations woman. And, I don't know why. Why are they coming out of, you know, of the place? And the lady came out and she said, I know you're a man of God and I want to pray for you. I'm a Christian believer and I would love to pray for you. There she was. And she took time off from work. Oh, well, can't beat that. I said, well, I would love for you to pray for me. So right there in the parking lot, cars whizzing by and all kind of things. You know, it was a, like a little strip shopping mall. I opened the door to the car and she grabbed my hand and boy, she began to pray. And I'm telling you, that lady, she could pray. And, when she finished, she said, while I was praying for you, God told me in my heart, you are a man of God. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I found out we were praying. I said, I think God answers your prayers. And I appreciate your praying for me. You know, to me, this is the kind of life a Christian should live. Now, how did that happen? Was it because Wanda is a good Christian herself? We didn't even know the lady. We had just brought the stuff in. And I don't know, Wanda got into a discussion with her. And she asked, would your husband like to come in and try these things on to make sure they fit good, our alterations? And Wanda said, well, he can. He's had this problem. And then she asked Wanda, are you a Christian? And Wanda said, yes, I am. Oh, well, I am too. I know you must believe in prayer. And Wanda said, oh, yes, absolutely. And then she said, well, can I pray for your husband? See how God superintends your lives? The steps of a righteous person are ordered by God. God sends people into your lives. That's the way he does. Everywhere I go, God prepares the way for me. I have no doubt that I was at that laundry and cleaners at that moment because God was at work. So anyway, this is the kind of things that happen. So to me, the glory of God is so strong everywhere we go as a Christian that sometimes adversity, even infirmity of the body, can be a good thing, a strength builder. Oh, yes. Strength comes from adversity. Don't ever forget it, dear friends. And don't feel sorry for me because God is going to do something wonderful through my afflictions. But my head is still strong. I can still think. My heart is there. And we're going to go straight forward here. Hey, I'm getting so many nice letters from people, prayers from people with my illnesses. And here's a lady, Mary. She knows who she is, and she gave a lovely a gift to the ministry. To help our ministry, but she said, dear Tex, I'm so proud of you and your entire ministry. I've always tried to tell the truth myself, and I consider it one of the best traits we can develop and hold on to throughout our lives. Well, thank you. By the way, she has a daughter, Tiffany. She's asking prayer for her. Tiffany's fighting leukemia. Folks, I'd like you to out there to pray for Tiffany. Would you please do that? Fighting leukemia. Pray for her. Mary says that Tiffany, her daughter's faith and trust in God is strong. And she says, I know you're all busy there at the ministry, but please pray for my daughter. We're not too busy. We can't pray for Tiffany. And I suspect there are thousands of people listening to my voice today around the world that are going to be praying for Tiffany. Tiffany. Remember Tiffany from, well, I guess AR. Now that's Arizona. No, that's Arkansas, isn't it? Yeah, Arkansas. What am I thinking? Okay. From Brooklyn, Arkansas. Mary, we're praying for you and for Tiffany. We'll see what God can do there, but never, never give up. And I know you won't. Hey, here's Barbara writes to me. She says, greetings. I just want to thank you for your Bible Home Church program. There's hardly any place to go where there's a true church anymore. Thank you, Barbara. Barbara's from Bismarck, North Dakota. You know, you can get to Bible Home Church, my weekly sermon and the lovely music we have, just by going to BibleHomeChurch.com. BibleHomeChurch.org, O-R-G, BibleHomeChurch.org. Or you can go to our the homepage of PowerOfProphecy.com, and then where's it? It's up there about on the left-hand side. You have to click something, then it'll – anyway, you can find it or go directly to BibleHomeChurch.org. And 24/7, we have this week's message. And I think you'll be blessed for it. Now, I want to let you know that if you give love gifts to Bible Home Church, it is separate from Power of Prophecy. And I also want you to know that even though it takes us a lot of time to put that on the air, and we have to, of course, have the web page and pay for all that, I want you to know that I do not receive a salary at all. I don't have any benefits at all coming from Bible Home Church. It's just a love thing. I my love gift to you is Bible Home Church. And so we'd appreciate your support, because we do have cost involved. But my time, goes to Bible Home Church because I just love doing it. And so we don't have, I don't have any perks. I guess some pastors today, boy, they get paid a mint, and they have a car that their ministry or church pays for, and gives them allowances for everything from their phone to their computer service to, their gasoline to, meals, and entertainment, whatever that means. And, you know, I've never gone along with that stuff. We just don't do that. I don't do that. I don't know. You know, many years ago, we were audited by the IRS, and he wanted to know what all my benefits and perks were. And I just laughed at him. You know, I was nice to the guy. He says, I mean, do you have a company car, a ministry paid car? I said, no. He says, do you have an expense allowance? I said, well, no. He says, well, you go on these trips. And I said, well, don't waste your time. You can search for those. Oh, you won't. I don't have those. So he says, my goodness, I've never known of a church or ministry that doesn't take care of these things. Do you have a pension or retirement? I said, no, except what God's going to do for me. So anyway, we go right on, and God has taken real good care of us. Okay, now we'll talk some more about lovely letters, but I want to go right into some of these secrets today. By the way, I did get a letter also, and I get many of these letters, but this one's a man named Kemer Ozan. He's from the country of Turkey. Now, some of my books have been published in Turkey, and I understand they're very brisk bestsellers over in Turkey. He says, my name is Ozan Kulinci. I'm in Turkey. I am reading Illuminati. They gave one of my books, I think it was Circle of Intrigue, the name Illuminati in Turkey. He says, Mr. Mars, I think if you were to read our Holy Quran, you could profit from this religious book. We may have different religions, but we and you think the same things and live the same destiny. Well, I could preach a whole sermon on that, Khmer, but I won't. I want to just thank you for your lovely letter to Tex Mars and the ministry. I have read, by the way, the Holy Quran. I've read it, I can't say I've read it, I've read it about three times, and then parts of it more times. So I have read it. And of course, let's just say that it's interesting. I'll leave it till later to talk more about the Quran. I'm not going to get into that today. But as you know, we have done a whole program, haven't we, Jerry? Jerry's my broadcast engineer here. Let's see. The title of that program is I think it's the Star, the Crescent Moon, and the Black Stone: The Truth About Islam. And I go into great detail all about Islam. Is it a religion of God or not? Now, I want to let you, my good friends on the radio, know that there are many wonderful people who are Muslim. I have no doubt of that. As far as their destiny, though, this is what concerns me. I know the destiny of every person who has Jesus Christ in his heart and is born again. Their destiny is the promise, the inheritance of an eternal life with Jesus Christ in heaven. That is our destiny as Christians. But I fear for this good friend who wrote us. I would like you to pray for him as well. that he will come to know. Obviously, he's a man who is looking for spiritual things. He wants to know the truth. And many of the things that I write about, you know, global conspiracies and all that, he understands. He says, so, there is an Illuminati conspiracy. And I appreciate that. But I want you to pray for his destiny and the destiny of all of these wonderful Muslim people who write us, that they will come to know the true Savior, the true life, the true way is Jesus Christ. That is missing from the Quran. And I am deeply saddened about that, because many of these people are lovely people. They're not all a bunch of terrorists. And I know they're horrible deeds perpetrated by many Muslims today. Look what that nut did down in Fort Hood. Took out his gun there and killed, 14 people. Horrible things. The so-called honor killings, where they kill their own daughters and women. Now, I'm not saying this young man who wrote me, I have a suspicion that it would not be that kind. You know, there's Christians and then there's Christians. There's Muslims and then there's Muslims. But believe me, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, he told the truth. And this is my message for Muslims. I do not put you in the category of all fighting a jihad to kill all the unbelievers, the infidels. No, I know that not all of you believe that. So again, I want to say they're lovely people. They're lovely people, believe me, also who are Hindus and Buddhist and many other faiths. But being a lovely humanitarian person will not entitle you to eternal life with Jesus. That's just the truth. And this is the message that we want to get across in our ministry. We cannot possibly hate this young man who wrote to us. In fact, my heart goes out to him and all the people of Turkey. What a wonderful place this is Turkey. Just the other week, there's a little restaurant right down the street from us, and we went in there. It just was like a little country restaurant. Turns out the owner and his wife are both from Turkey. And I got to talking to him. I said, well, you know, my books are bestsellers in Turkey. He just, boy, his face just beamed up, spoke with a little accent. He said, really? I said, oh, yes. And we got to talking. And he said, I believe just like you do. I believe in Jesus. That's why I came to America. I wanted to be among Christians. Oh, all right. You see what I mean, friends? God puts people like that in your path. And he was surprised. Next week we came in again. And I brought him two copies of my books in the Turkish language, because he had said, I'm going to order them. Well, I said, don't order them. I'll give them to you. No. And he tried to pay me for them. I said, no, this is my gift to you. I'm so glad you're living in America. And by the way, he came the right way. He didn't sneak across the border. He didn't, you know, come over here and then just stay. He applied. It took him a long, long time, but he and his wife, and now they're doing a good deed. They're small business people. They own the little restaurant. And he's a Christian believer. Praise God for him. Okay. I want to talk to you about a number of things. First of all, this situation going on in Japan. I know all of you have great sympathy for the Japanese people that are affected by this, the Fukushima, those six nuclear reactors. And it looks like the worst could possibly happen. They can't stop the fires in these things and the melting. And at any time, an incredible explosion could occur. When we realize that Tokyo, that's not too far away, maybe an hour's drive, Tokyo could be blanketed with radiation and has a population of 20 to 25 million people. That great city. Oh, what a disaster that would be. First of all, you ask yourself, you know, Japan is the most earthquake-prone nation in the world. There's more earthquakes in Japan than any other nation on earth. Why in heaven's name, or hell's name, I don't want to blame heaven on it. They didn't do it in heaven's name. Why did they have all of these? Now, I know that Japan doesn't have natural resources. It doesn't have the oil, the coal, and so forth. They thought that then that they could do a lot better with nuclear power. But to build nuclear plants in an earthquake-prone nation close to the major metropolitan city, right on the coast, vulnerable to tsunami waves, is preposterous. But there's something behind all of this I think is extremely curious. I saw the pic. We keep seeing the pictures of these nuclear reactors and the plants and their concrete walls and all that and the towering structures around them. Before those the explosions went off in a couple of the reactors, it seemed they were untouched. I didn't see any cracks in the walls. They seemed intact. Everything looked normal. Now, unlike the cities, the smaller towns and cities near where the very eye of this disaster, they were destroyed. We saw the waves come over, and the cars were like little toy cars, and even a big ship or two just fell over on its side, and buildings collapsed, and thousands were drowned, caught, you know, unawares even. But the debris smashed and just destroyed homes and businesses in those cities. But there were no debris around those nuclear reactors. It was clean. We're told that the earthquake was not what damaged the reactors, but it was the tidal wave, the tsunami that came in. Now, there are varying reports that it was as much as 33 feet height, the tsunami that came in, but most say it was around 20 to 25 feet in height. And I'm told that the damage occurred, if I'm getting it right now, there's so many misstatements over there and bad information coming out, that the tsunami wave came in, let's say 20, 25 feet high, and washed over the nuclear reactors and inundated the generators. Now, the power went out for these, and they've got to have that power to keep those reactors cool, or else a death-destructive process will begin. And unfortunately, the power went out, but then these generators are supposed to kick on when the power goes out. But they said because the waves were taller than the generators, you know, were built, I guess on the ground or on small platforms, the water went over them, doused the generators, and they were unable to crank up and start providing the energy and the cooling for these reactors. So it wasn't the damage of the tsunami that destroyed the buildings or all the debris. It wasn't cracks or fissures, splits on the coast there where they were situated and the foundation was. No. It was the generators. Now, folks, this is something I can't understand. Why wouldn't they have built generators since they're on the coast and subject to flooding and a tsunami? Why wouldn't they have built them high up on towers? Built entire buildings and put them up 100 feet tall, 50 feet tall, taller than any tsunami has ever been in history. You know, I live very close to a lakes area, and one of the lakes is Lake Marble Falls in Marble Falls, Texas, not too far from my home. And I was driving there several months ago, and I noticed that the houses right on the lake were 2 and 3 story, and the first story is the garage, and no residence, you know, no rooms, in other words, where people live and such. So all of the living areas on the second and third floors of these homes that are right on the lake shore. And I also noticed that a little balcony was built on off of the second floor, and that's where the outside air conditioning units are. Now, the house where I live, our air conditioning and heating unit is on the ground, but we don't have any flooding. I come to find out by talking to a good friend, those homes lay in what's called a 100-year floodplain. That means approximately every 100 years there might be a flood that floods that area from the lake. And in fact, about 18 or 20 years ago, there was a 100-year flood, but that could occur at any time. But he told me the second floor of our home lies above that floodplain. So in normal, you know, even 100-year flood conditions, the water will go under and maybe inundate the first floor, but not bother the second and third floor. So we have put our air conditioner unit on the second floor, built it up. And if it goes out or needs work or, you know, whatever, maintenance, people can just, the technician go up to the second floor and open the door there, and right on the balcony there is the air conditioning unit. I thought that was pretty clever. Put the air conditioning unit up in the sky, you know, okay? Because it might flood. Why didn't they do this in Japan? The whole thing makes no sense until I read and I discovered that an Israeli security company was put in charge of the nuclear reactors. Why would the Japanese hire an Israeli security company? All the security guards and all that, you know, watching for stealing or problems or whatever. Security of nuclear plants by the Israelis in Japan? Doesn't Japan have 110 million people? Yes, it does. This is insane. But wait. Friends, did you know that at Logan Airport, up in New England there in Boston area, where supposedly the 9/11 airplanes, you know, that were commandeered by the so-called Arab terrorists and flown into the World Trade Center towers and then over in Pennsylvania and into the Pentagon, supposedly. I have to clear my throat every time I say that because you know it's a bunch of baloney. But in any case, that's what we're told. They took off from Logan Airport. Then they flew on these deadly missions. It just turns out that, well, guess who was doing the security? Who was in charge of the security? Now, this was in the days before the transportation safety, you know, people that are grabbing people's crotches and everything nowadays were in operation. Guess who did security for Logan Airport where the 9/11 terrorists supposedly took off? Yes, that's right. It was an Israeli company. I understand that many American nuclear plants are now being guarded and secured by Israeli security companies. Oh, my, my, my. I think you get the big picture. I don't need to draw you a Van Gogh or Picasso painting, folks, do I? You're pretty clever out there. You understand things. I wonder if it was the fact that Japan, about a year ago, began becoming more independent of Israel and the United States in the United Nations and has voted against Israel and voted even to censor Israel because of their murderous activity against the Palestinian people, the ethnic cleansing that's being carried out by the Israeli defense forces, so-called, which are really Israeli offensive forces. Japan decided no more, or we're just going to rubber stamp what Israel does in the Middle East against the Palestinians. That was decided a year ago. Now, Germany also just recently decided, Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, she decided, too, that she wasn't going to start just rubber stamping whatever the United States and Israel wanted to do in the Middle East. And she announced that she would not go along with Israel. It's murderous, bloody assaults on the Palestinian people. And she would vote against Israel when a resolution came up in the Security Council. And recently one did, and she and Germany voted against Israel. Well, guess what happened? Within 2 weeks of her voting against Israel, the United Nations, or at least ordering the German ambassador to do so, Chancellor Merkel had a little problem, an accident with her helicopter. See, just as we have Air Force One in the, you know, Obama's presidential helicopter, the German chancellor, same as our president, also has a helicopter designated just for her use. And would you believe it, while it was flying, two of its rotors broke off at once? And it never happened. It rarely happens, helicopter mechanics say. Both rotors in midair fell off the helicopter. More when we get back, when I come back in just a moment. Stay with us. This is Secrets, Power of Prophecy, and I'm Tex Morris. How would you like to own the book that is the most, well, it's the most censored and banned book in the world? It's called Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. For many years, I've had a copy of Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Let's just call it the Protocols, or the Protocols of Zion. And I've been very impressed because it is 24 planks, agendas, or protocols in this book. And they describe exactly the Zionist Jewish plot to take over this world, to crash the economies. It has to be a demented genius who set forth this incredible agenda for global domination. It is a blueprint. Everything is included in there. How they're going to destroy Christianity, how they're going to just open up all the borders of the world and end all nationalities, end all countries. How they're going to undermine patriotism. How they're going to poison our children with immoral filth in the media and so forth. How they're going to take over the media. It's a step-by-step plan. I've never seen anything like it. You know, I've read Machiavelli. I've read Colonel House's novel of how the United States would end up. I've read Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, which was the Bible for Hillary and Barack Obama on how to carry out a communist revolution in America. But never have I read a book more diabolical than The Protocols of Zion. And you know what? I decided, because it was such a rare book, and bookstores refuse to stock it on their shelves because the Jewish agents go in and make trouble for them. It's a banned book. Well, it's just perfect for me to publish, isn't it? That's the kind of book sometimes we publish. Truth-telling books that no one else will offer for fear of the Jews. Now, folks, I'm not afraid of the Indians or the Canadians or the Mexicans or the Chinese or the Russians or the Jews. We're going to tell the truth here because we got a bodyguard. We've got a soul guard. His name is Christ Jesus, and we want you to have this book. We have a new edition of it. It's got Henry Ford, got a bunch of information, Henry Ford, from his classic book called The International Jew. Henry Ford, who gave us the assembly line, gave us Ford Motor Company. And we have other people, famous correspondent Victor Morrison. We got information from him. But most of all, we've got all 24 protocols of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Just ask for the Protocols book or Protocols of Zion. It's a brand new edition, this classic. I was pleased to write a new foreword for the book. So you'll see Tex Morris in the protocols as well. So folks, here's how to get your copy of Protocols of Zion. It'll come in just one of our regular packages. And you don't have to worry about, anybody knowing you've got it. You'll love this book because I know you love knowledge. You love understanding. And you love to expose the evildoers. $20, please add $5 shipping and handling. A total of $25 for the brand new edition. A lovely cover on the book done by Sandra Shepherd here, works in our ministry. Myers, oh my goodness, she's going to kill me. She's been married to Brother Myers for only 20 years. And Rich is my good friend, her husband. Well, she's been working for us first as Sandra Shepherd, then Sandra Myers. Sandra Myers, forgive me. Okay, all right. All right, Sandra Myers did the cover, beautiful cover. I wrote the foreword, and God exposed the contents. There you go. Written by Jewish Zionist plotters at the highest level. $25 that take care of all the shipping and handling, and order it by calling us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673 in the United States of America and Canada. Otherwise, our number is 512-263-9780. That'll work around the world. And, of course, you can go to powerofprophecy.com. It's right there on the home page. Click on there and use your charge card and order it from powerofprophecy.com. Protocols of Zion. Amazing book. You can send us $25 cash or a check, money order. Send that to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, Republic of Texas. No, don't put that down. That's our little secret. USA. Okay. And now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about Secrets, Volume 176. I'm Tex Mars, founder of Power of Prophecy about 25 years ago. 25 years. Jerry, does that mean we're getting old? No, come on. Come on. We're all getting younger here. Every day. Hey, we're talking about the fact that Israel did the security for Logan Airport where the 9/11 aircraft took off. Israeli agents took care of the security at the Fukushima nuclear reactor plant. And now Mordecai Vanunu, an Israeli citizen, has come right out in a startling accusation and stated flat out that it was Israel and its leaders who assassinated John F. Kennedy. Well, you know, my good friend Michael Collins Piper wrote an entire book called Final Judgment. It's now out of print. I hope you'll put it back in print. And it stated the same thing, and it proved its point. But now Mordecai Vanunu has alleged that Jerusalem, Israel, its leadership, killed John F. Kennedy. I've known that for many years, friends. Have you? The Israeli Mossad, working with the CIA and the FBI, at least the top levels, and with that crud, that evil, goodness. I don't care if he was a Texan. Lyndon Johnson was one evil guy. He conspired with them. He became president, and he immediately changed the policy. You see, John F. Kennedy had met face-to-face with the prime minister, talk about a nut he was, David Ben-Gurion, first prime minister of Israel. They met in 1962, and Kennedy had intelligence that showed that Israel had developed nuclear bombs by stealing the blueprints and the plans from America. Jewish Americans. What duplicitous, foul people many of those Jewish Americans are. Not every Jewish American, but many of them are Israeli firsters. They favor Israel over their own nation where they were born. A country that's made many of them rich many times over. Nevertheless, they're traitors, spies, saboteurs for Israel. Shame on them. Well, they stole our uranium. They stole our plans for the nuclear bomb, and they began to make them in the Negev Desert at the Dimona nuclear plant. And Kennedy had the intelligence on this, and he said, no, 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 you're not going to have that. I don't want any country in the Middle East to have nuclear weapons because it could lead to tragedy. And he was fair-handed about it. He said, I don't want any Muslim country. I don't want any Jewish country to have nuclear weapons. David Ben-Gurion, what a filthy liar he was. He looked Kennedy right in the face and says, well, we don't have any nuclear weapons. We're not making them. I don't know who told you that, but your intelligence is wrong. Well, John F. Kennedy came back and said, well, Mr. Prime Minister, then you won't mind me sending American inspectors, scientists, nuclear scientists to Dimona in Israel to inspect your plant, will you? Uh-oh. They knew their goose was cooked. Now, friends, I have a letter. It's a copy of the letter from the National Archives where President John F. Kennedy wrote to Ben-Gurion's successor, Prime Minister Levi Eshkol, in 1963. Now, I want you to get this date. The date was August the 23rd, 1963. He reminded Mr. Eshkol, Prime Minister Eshkol of Israel, of his discussions earlier with Prime Minister Ben-Gurion. And he said, now that you're the new prime minister, I want to let you know that we still intend, we demand the right to inspect that plant. You have told us that there are no nuclear weapons there and you're not manufacturing them. Fine. Please, he said, write back to me and let me know when we can have access. Oh boy, they were caught, weren't they? Think of that date, August the 23rd. And when was John F. Kennedy assassinated? November the 23rd. August, September, 90 days. Israel did not want to give up its nuclear weapons. Why? Because they wanted to have one upsmanship over the Arabs. They wanted to frighten all the Arabs, scare them, mess with us, and we'll destroy you. They weren't about to give up their golem, their nuclear bombs. They had lied, they had cheated. And by the way, to this very day, they refuse to have United Nations inspectors. What hypocrites! The Jews over there say, oh, Iran, they could be developing nuclear weapons. We've got to stop them before it's too late. We've got to destroy their nuclear plants. We've got to go after Iran. We've got to start a big war. And United States, you've got to be our proxy, our big bully. And you've got to go over there and destroy Iran for us. You've got to die. Your military troops have to die for Israel. You've got to stop Iran. They could have nuclear bombs. Israel, you've got nuclear bombs. By the way, Ahmadinejad in Iran allow United Nations inspectors into their plants. They allow them, but Israel does not. What a bunch of liars and hypocrites. The only country that has nuclear weapons in the Middle East actually is Israel. Now, Turkey, that's a little further north, has nuclear weapons. Pakistan, that's in the Near East, has weapons. But right there in the immediate Mediterranean area, where there's been so much bloodshed, Israel's the only one. And they want to keep it that way. And they murdered our president, John F. Kennedy, so that they could. Now, there were others involved. We know that the director of the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, was a cross-dressing homosexual who lived with his lover, Mr. Tolson. And the Jews keep dossiers. The Mossad has dossiers. They have spy files on all our politicians. And law enforcement people around America, many of them in the pocket of the Jews, because the Mossad watch them. And in fact, many times they entice them. They set up attractive women and have little affairs on the side. But what they don't know is in the motel room, they got secret video cams. Then you're in their pockets. They give bribes to mayors, to city councilmen, to politicians, and later they go on to become senators and congressmen and maybe presidents. And they have this secret knowledge, this information of something they've done. It might have been a financial scandal, a bribe, or it may have been something sexual. Go our way, vote the way we want, give us what we want, foreign aid billions, or we'll release this information and you'll be destroyed. That's what they tell our congressmen, our senators, our presidents, our secretaries of state, our defense secretary, on and on. Even many high-ranking military people have become entrapped in this spider's web of the Israeli Mossad spying. Operating, by the way, you know they work with the ADL and the that's my opinion, but there's a lot of evidence for it, in the AIPAC lobby groups and so forth. Now, Mordecai Vanunu says that Rothschild gave the order to kill JFK, and it was done through the Israeli Mossad, working with people like J. Edgar Hoover and Lyndon Johnson and the CIA. And Kennedy had just fired the head of the CIA, Alan Dulles, and intended to split the CIA into 1,000 pieces. Anyway, who is Mordecai Vanunu? How might he know? Well, you see, he was a guy that was a technician. He worked at the Dimona nuclear plant, where Israel made its nuclear bombs. He worked there. Now, something happened to Mordecai Vanunu, and he decided to tell the world about the nuclear bombs that Israel was denying that they had. Vanunu worked on them and helped to manufacture them, and he knew they had them. And he determined he was going to tell the world about it. Why would a man do that? His conscience. Why would his conscience bother him? Because Mordecai Vanunu had become a Christian. A born-again Christian. He couldn't take the lies anymore. And he knew that the Israeli maniacs, with their Jewish Talmud as their law, as their guide, not the Old Testament anymore, Judaism is a man-made satanic religion. He knew they will use these someday to kill millions of people. And so he gave an interview to a European newspaper. Well, he was arrested by the Israeli authorities. He was thrown in a prison cell, and he spent 18 years, most of the time being punished in solitary confinement. He's out again now, and you know what? They told him, if you say one more word, it's back to prison for you. Well, he said one more word. Now he says it is a near certainty that Rothschild ordered the hit to kill JFK. By the way, he also said the nuclear plant in Dimona is not a safe place, and I believe a problem, radioactive leak could occur, or has occurred. And if not at any time, a Chernobyl-type explosion could occur. Quite interesting. And, of course, in the Middle East, in fact, right where Israel is situated, history shows many great earthquakes. I wonder if God might do something about that someday. Well, we move from Israel to Hawaii. Boy, what a change that was, from desert to the tropical, lush island of Hawaii, where, fearing a possible court challenge, the Hawaiian State Senate voted recently to eliminate their daily prayer. They had a daily prayer to open up each session, but the Senate says, we're so scared because that old Jewish a founded group, the ACLU, sent us a letter saying that our invocations often reference the name of Jesus, and we could not have that. We could just talk about God in general or heathen deities, but we couldn't talk about Jesus anymore. And, you know, you can't trust those Christian pastors. Even if we tell them not to mention the name of Jesus, they might do it anyway when they pray. So they just decided to get rid of the prayer, the entire prayer. Yes, our courageous politicians. ACLU barks and they go a-running, don't they? That's not all. Turns out that even in our U.S. Congress, things like that are happening. A C-SPAN video surfaced recently where U.S. Representative Betty McCollum, Congresswoman McCollum from, she's a Democrat from Minnesota, was leading the floor of the U.S. House and reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. But guess what? When she got to the words under God, she just omitted them. One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. What happened to under God? Well, Ms. McCollum said she just forgot it. Didn't mean to leave it out. She just forgot it. Uh-huh. Oh, yes. But hey, those things are not as bad as what happened at the Memorial Drive Presbyterian Church in Houston. You see, in cooperation with Christian churches, supposedly Christian, I use that term Christian very loosely, friends. But this church in Houston, along with Presbyterian and other churches in Atlanta, Georgia, Seattle, Washington, Detroit, Michigan, have started a program, a series of sermons designed to produce what they call an ecumenical reconciliation. That means a love fest between Christianity and Islam. They want to bring Christianity and Islam together. Now, this is a new concept going around. I'd never heard of it, but maybe you have, friends. It's called Chrislam. The combination of Christ and Islam, and they just call it Chrislam. One word, Chrislam. Now, in addition to the sermons at all these so-called Christian churches, the Sunday school lessons will center on the inspired teachings. I'm reading now from the news report. I don't believe this for a moment, but it says here, Sunday school lessons for the kids and the adults will center on the inspired teachings of the prophet Muhammad. And Qurans, the Holy Quran of the Muslims, will be placed in the pews next to the Bibles. Take your pick. Read from the Quran or the Bible. Now, since the Quran, dear friends, says that Jesus never died on the cross and was resurrected, that was all a myth. And since it says that Jesus is not the Son of God, that God had no son, and since the Quran says that Muhammad is the prophet of God and God's name is Allah, and Jesus is way down the totem pole somewhere there in the ranking of dignities in heaven, to put the Quran in proximity in the racks along with the Bible, isn't that disgusting to you, dear friends? It is to me. Now, they say, though, that this concept of Chrislam has been promoted and embraced by such wonderful preachers as Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Community Church. You know, the guy that gave us what were those books, Jerry? Purpose-driven church, purpose-driven life. I guess it's Satan's purpose, but anyway, it comes out now that it is, although he didn't quite say that in his books. But both Warren and Schuller say they're in favor of this Chrislam, evidently. As well as they want us to go out and love our neighbor. And that's one thing to love your neighbor. It's another to put the Satan's Quran in the racks in the churches. And it's really it's an outrage, dear friends. Is it not? To include in Sunday school lessons the inspired so-called teachings of the prophet Muhammad? Oh my goodness. Well, John Stahlsmith, the outreach minister at Grace Fellowship Church in Atlanta, Georgia, says, we wish our people to awaken to the true Islamic presence in the world. Jesus said we should love our neighbors. We cannot do that without having a relationship with them. He says the Quran is a wonderful book because it mentions Jesus 25 times. Yes, it does. It says he's not the Son of God. It says he never rose from the dead. What kind of idiot, foolish idiot are you, Minister John Stahl Smith? I'm afraid there are thousands just like him, though, friends. Thousands. It says the Chrislam movement gained impetus when President George Bush said publicly that Christians, Jews, and Muslims all worship the same God. Also, according to the churches in the Chrislam movement, Rick Warren gave it a big push and promotion when he prayed in the name of Isa, the Muslim name for Jesus, in his prayer at the inauguration of President Barack Obama. He used the Muslim name for Jesus. My goodness. Meanwhile, Mike Huckabee, you know, he's a Southern Baptist pastor, was a former governor of the state of Arkansas. He went over to Israel. You know, they all have to do their pilgrimage. These people who want to be president in 2012, they have to go over to Israel and kiss the boots of the leaders of the Masonic order there. There's a great Masonic lodge over there called the Grand Lodge of Jerusalem, Grand Lodge of Israel. Now, I talked about it on my video, the Masonic Lodge over Jerusalem. You'll need to get that video, see what I'm talking about. Now, before she became the vice presidential nominee, Sarah Palin went over to Israel. Guess what? She's there again. She wants to run for president in 2012, and Sarah Palin's over in Israel right now kissing up to them, licking their boots. And so is Mike Huckabee. He went over there too. And while he was over there, he really licks the boots. I mean, his tongue must be sore. It must be chapped. He told the Jerusalem Post, their newspaper, that President Barack Obama should release Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard from American prisons as a gesture of friendship. Right now, says Huckabee, we don't need anything that reflects that we're anything but an absolute ally of Israel. Freeing Pollard would send the right message to the rest of the world. Huh? Let me explain this. There's a man named Jonathan Pollard sitting in an American prison cell today. He was the single spy that caused the most damage to American security in the last 100 years. What did he do? Well, first of all, think about it this way. Jonathan Pollard was born in the United States in Galveston, Texas. An American citizen. But from an early age, he loved Israel and the Jews more than he loved America. And he determined to be a spy for the Israeli Mossad. And so he got jobs at the Defense Department and worked his way up and finally became a file clerk, just a file clerk now. But boy, a file clerk can do damage. He stole millions, not dozens, not scores, not hundreds, not thousands, but millions. Took him years, 20 years to steal this many things. He stole millions of classified top secret, secret documents. And they gave away practically every secret we had about our nuclear submarines, missiles, all kinds of things. Even the manufacture of nuclear bombs. And he gave them away to Israel. Paid by the Mossad, Jonathan Pollard. Now, some people say, well, Israel is our friend. They're our ally. Why would they want to spy on us? Please let me explain something to you. Israel is not our ally. And I want to tell you what they did with these documents. You see, Israel has long been an ally of Red China because communists founded Israel, and they also, of course, founded Mao Zedong and the communists founded Red China. They are all fellow communists. You don't understand. They're communists. And Israel promptly gave the best of our secrets to Red China. Red China got America's secrets from Israel. But by the way, even if you're a friend of Israel, they like you to pay up. They like money, 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 money. The Red Chinese paid Israel billions of dollars for American secrets that were stolen by an American Jew named Jonathan Pollard. He was basically working as a communist spy for both Israel and China. He was found, convicted, and now he's in prison. But it's a matter of pride for the Jews in Israel to get him released. So they can say, even if you spy against your own country, America, American Jews, don't worry, we'll get you out. Now, there are a number of people today in the CIA and the FBI that have threatened Obama, if you pardon this jerk, we will resign. Many former CIA people, Bobby Inman, admiral in the U.S. Navy, was deputy director of the CIA. He said he's going to cause the biggest clamor in the world if they let this guy out of prison. Obama wants to let him go free to please the Jews. Now, Huckabee was asked to do this little task of making a public statement, and he has done it. What a turncoat traitor this Huckabee is. By the way, Newt Gingrich is going over to Israel too. And I understand Mitt Romney is this very moment. Mitt Romney, former Massachusetts governor, is over in Israel. They must make their pilgrimage and show their loyalty to Israel. They must go up to the Wailing Wall, put on their skull cap, which is making a mockery of Jesus, and put their little prayer request in the Wailing Wall. And let me give you one more secret while we're in the secrets today. That Wailing Wall is not a wall left over from the great temple of Herod that was overturned and destroyed by the Roman general Titus in the year 70 AD. Because, and let me explain this to you, that wall actually is the wall of a former mosque, an Islamic mosque. That's all that's left is that wall up there on the Temple Mountain. The remains of an ancient Islamic mosque. That's what it is. You say, how do I know that? Because I've studied the archaeology of Israel and of Jerusalem. And not only that, but Jesus said it. What was Jesus' prophecy in Matthew 23 and 24? Not one stone will be left upon another of this great temple. Not one stone would be left. A whole wall? Never. But the Jews said, we want to build our temple here. And we're going to take this wall and claim that it's one of the only remaining wall of the great temple of Herod that once sit here. First of all, Herod was one of the most wicked men in the world at the time. Who would want one of his walls, of his temple? A temple where the money changers went in and were thrown out by Jesus Christ. A temple where the Sanhedrin paid a traitor, Judas, to betray the Lord Jesus and then demanded that the Roman governor Pilate put Jesus to death. That's the temple. And these idiots, these deceivers, these satanic people, ranging from President George W. Bush to Sarah Palin to Mike Huckabee to Mitt Romney to Barack Obama, go to this Wailing Wall, so-called, and put their prayer request, not to God, but to Satan. That's what they're doing. Well, I guess I've run out of secrets for today. I've got a lot more, but we're out of time. Been so great visiting with you today here at Power of Prophecy. I'm just getting wound up, but I guess the time has slipped away. Been so wonderful being with you. Again, thank you for your prayers. Those of you who gave so we could rebuild our fence, hey, we still need a little bit of money for that. In fact, we need really about half the money for it. If you can afford to help us rebuild the fence that was torn down by the weather we had here, we would appreciate your help. But I know one thing you can do, even if you don't have a cent, you can pray for us. And if you need prayer, would you please let us know? We'd be privileged to pray for you. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. And it's my prayer that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.